Never in all of Safehold's history had any secular monarch dared to name the man of his own choice as the chief prelate of his realm. Never. That was the Council of Vicars' official position, although Ducairn was well aware of the persistent, whispered rumors that Mother Church's traditions had not always supported that view of things. But this was no hypothetical age which might have existed once, centuries ago. This was the present, and in the present it was a patently illegal act. Yet the writ of appointment naming Michael Stainair Archbishop of All Carus carried not simply Caleb Armagh's signature, but also the signatures and seals of every member of his royal council, the Speaker of the House of Commons, and of 19 of the 23 other bishops of the Kingdom of Carus. The same signatures and seals had been affixed individually to Stainair's letter as well, which was even more frightening. This wasn't one man's, one king's, one usurping archbishop's act of defiance. It was an entire kingdom's, and the consequences, if it was allowed to stand, were unthinkable. "But how do we keep it from standing?" Ducairn asked himself, almost despairingly. "They've defeated, as Zamsin says, destroyed the navies of Coruscant, Emerald, Chisholm, Taro, and Dolar. There's no one left, no one we can possibly send against them." "I think," Trenaire continued into his colleague's angry, frightened silence, "that we must begin by admitting the limitations we currently face. And to be honest, we have no choice but to confront openly both the failure of our original policy and the difficulties we face in attempting to recover from that failure." "How?" Maguire demanded, obviously still smarting from Trenaire's earlier remarks. "The charge which is most likely to prove dangerous to Mother Church and the authority of the Council of Vicars," Trenaire replied, "is that the attack directed against Carus has somehow pushed Caleb and his adherents into this open defiance and heresy. That had we not acted against Harald's earlier policies as we did, Carus would not have been lost to us." He looked around the table once more, and Ducairn nodded back shortly. Of course that was what their enemies were going to say. After all, it was true, wasn't it? "I suggest to you," Trenaire said, "that these documents are the clearest possible proof that there is no accuracy at all to such a charge." Ducairn felt his eyebrows trying to arch in astonishment, but he somehow kept his jaw from dropping. "It's obvious," the Chancellor continued, still sounding as if what he was saying actually had some nodding acquaintance with reality. "No matter whose name is signed to this so-called open letter, that the hand truly behind it is Caleb's. That Stainair is simply Caleb's mouthpiece and puppet, the sacrilegious and blasphemous mask for Caleb's determination to adhere to his father's aggressive and dangerous foreign policy. And no doubt some people will see Caleb's undeniable anger over his father's death and the attack which we supported as impelling him to take such defiant steps. However, as has been well established, it was not Mother Church or the Council of Vicars, but the Knights of the Temple Lands who supported the resort to arms against Harald's overweening ambition." Clintan and Maguire swallowed that too, Ducairn noted, even though it just happened that the secular magnates of the Temple Lands also happened to be members of the Council of Vicars as well. It was true that the legal fiction that they were two separate entities had served the purposes of the vicarate often enough over the years. Yet the very frequency with which that particular ploy had been used meant everyone recognized it as a false distinction. None of which seemed to faze Trenaire, who simply went on speaking as if he were making some sort of genuine differentiation. "Nowhere in any of the correspondence or diplomatic exchanges between the Knights of the Temple Lands and any of the secular rulers involved was there any discussion of crusade or holy war. which surely would have been the case had Mother Church moved against apostates and heretics. Clearly, Caleb and his supporters are in possession of much of the correspondence between the Knights of the Templeland's secular allies and their naval commanders. As such, they must be aware of the fact that Mother Church was never involved at all, and that, in fact, the entire war had its causes in purely secular motives and rivalries. Yet their immediate response has been to impiously and heretically name an apostate bishop to the primacy of the Archbishopric of Corris, in defiance of the Council of Vicars as God's chosen and consecrated stewards, and to flatly reject Mother Church's God-given authority over all of God's children. He leaned back in his chair, his expression suitably grave, and Duquesne blinked. He'd never heard such a heap of unadulterated claptrap in his entire life, and yet